Good morning. Today's Daf and Chagiga, Tes Vav. We're in Yud Aleph Beis. We're about 8-9 lines from the bottom of the Amud. And so we are going to be delving into the esoteric. Although, however, today, aside from delving into the esoteric, so we are going to also be speaking about Talmidei Chachamim, who took a left-hand turn and went in a different direction. So a lot of interesting gemaras today, a little bit of drama today. Sorry, I take it back. A lot of drama today. But we are going to be continuing along the theme that we have been discussing now for almost a week, and that is understanding, getting a better understanding, a deeper understanding into into how HaKadosh Baruch Hu governs and runs the world, and a better understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Maisa Merkava, as the Gemara described in the beginning of the second parak, so Maisa Merkava is something that can be taught, but on a really, really limited basis, as opposed to Arayas. So the three topics of discussion, the Gemara said that you need small classroom sizes. Arayas, you need a classroom size of 2. For Maisa Brachos, so analysis and understanding of the world, both in terms of time and space. So there you can only teach it to 1, and with limits, as we discussed in the beginning of the second parak. And as far as Maisa Merkava is concerned, Maisa Merkava, so you're going to be teaching to nobody. So again, that's a funny sentence, and we've been saying that for a couple of days already, but that's what the Mishnah taught us. So you can have a classroom of 1, but the Gemara points out that you can have a classroom of 1. It just has to be that he has to be a worthy candidate. And on top of that, even that which you teach him has to be extraordinarily limited and extraordinarily regulated in terms of what you can actually teach him. First of all, what is Maisa Merkava? So again, last couple of days we discussed. So Maisa Merkava is analysis of the first parak of Sefer Yecheskel, could also be the sixth parak of Sefer Yeshayahu, but what it is some clear understanding of, I'm going to say like Rashi, a clear understanding of the Shekhinah. So let's just leave it there. So that is what we've been discussing, and along those lines, so we are going to be starting our Gemara today. Tanu Rabbanan. So my Arba Nichnasu Pardes. So there are 4 people who entered Pardes. Pardes over here, it literally translates as an orchard, but obviously that's a mashal. And in terms of where they went, so Rashi writes. So read the Rashi. Nichnasu Pardes Alu LeRakia Aide Shem. So they employed Shem Hashem and they went up to Rakia. Okay, probably, if not definitely, it means that they went somewhere not physically, but in terms of the mind. Rav Haigon speaks like this when giving a description of the Gemara over here. So they went into an altered state, right? Through meditation, they went through an altered state. Anyway, but what they did is they wanted to uncover Sodas HaTorah, secrets of the Torah, and so they went into this state. The English word, everyone here knows this, but the English word paradise obviously is a derivative of the word pardes. Okay, so Arba Nichnus to Bepardes Ve'elohein, and they are Ben Azib and Zama, Achim Rabbi Akiva. So Amalem Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva did a little bit of preparation. They all did a little bit of preparation, and probably a little bit, I mean a lot. But Rabbi Akiva gave everybody a warning, and that is Kishatem Agim Eitzel Avnei Shayish. So you're going to get to Marble, and as Rashi points out over here, it's really clear. So Shayish Tahor, you're going to get to the clear Marble. So I'll Tomer Mayim Mayim. So don't be confused, and don't think it's water, and make some sort of declaration that it's water. Because you're not allowed to speak untruth, and it's just simply an untruth, and you can't speak any untruth when we're there. You have to be extraordinarily sensitive to maintaining integrity and honesty. And so Rabbi Akiva gave everybody a warning. Okay, again, as you all know, I'll say it for the record. I'm putting it on recording. So my understanding of all this is going to be beyond limited. I will be able to successfully navigate, read the words, convey the basic understanding of the Gemara. But much like my Rebbeim, I'm not going to delve into this with any kind of depth, as I just simply lack understanding. Okay. So anyway, so that's what he told them. He told them don't make any kind of false declaration. Then as a hitzitzume, so. Each one of them had a vision and had a different reaction to that vision. Then Azai, so he experienced a vision and he died. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Halal, the pasuk in Tehillim, which we say is part of Halal. And that is Hamafsa. I'm sorry, Yakar Beinei Hashem Hamafsa L'Chasidov. It's difficult in Akash Baruch Hu's eyes when he has to kill off the Chasidim. And so obviously Ben Azir over here being described as a Chasid. And as Rashi points out over here, he was young. And it's unfortunate, but that was a consequence. So that was Ben Azai. Ben Zoma hates it, Venifka. Ben Zoma saw Venifka. Now, Nifka literally means he became lame, but Rashi over here understands Nitrofa Daito. In other words, he became insane. Valava Kasa Omer, Dvash Matsasa, Echol Dayecha, Pen Tisbaeno, Vihiki Aso. And the honey which you found and you ate, and you ate too much of it, and you ended up vomiting it. Okay, so basically, so it altered his mental state. And Acher Kitzitz Benetias. Now, as far as Acher is concerned, so Acher, as we're going to be learning later this morning, is Elisha ben Avuya. So he was Kitzitz Benetias. Now, literally, that means that he was cutting down the orchard. But as Rashi points out over here, that's a mashal. That's it means that he went off the path. And Rabbi Akiva Yatzibashalom. And Rabbi Akiva, so he came out unscathed. Shalu is Ben Zoma Maula Sarisi Kaba. They asked Ben Zoma, so are you allowed to castrate a dog? So Amar Lahem Uvar Tzachem Lo Sasu. So his response is that quoting the pasuk from Parshas Amor that Kol Sheba Tzachem Lo Sasu, meaning aside from the fact that it's a mum for an animal to be brought, on top of that, any animal. Now Rashi over here understands this to be a derivative of the fact that you're not allowed to exchange a dog for an animal to be used as a carbon, right? That is the that is what's called the Mechir Kalev. So Mechir Kalev is anything exchanged for a dog cannot be used as a carbon. So a dog itself obviously is not to be brought as a carbon, but it can be brought as its exchange cannot be brought as a carbon. So that means to say that it has some sort of shaychus.
Shouldn't have said by Davakiv Yotze Lo
Sholon. That's interesting. It's a good diuk. It's a good diuk.
That's when you die.
Yeah, it's an excellent diuk. Shalos Ben Zoma Besula Sheibra Maula Kohen Gadol. And they asked Ben Zoma now, Basula, let's say she got pregnant, but her insistence is that she is still a Basula. So, is she mutter to a Kohen Gadol? Michai Shinon Ledeshmol, the Amr Shmol Yachol Ani Lavol Kama Bilos Below Dam. So, maybe we should be concerned about Shmol. Shmol taught us a number of places throughout Shas, this being one of them, that it's possible to penetrate a woman, but not break her down Basulim. So you go in at an angle, and it's possible to do so. Udoma dishmo lo shchicha. Or maybe, as far as this maneuver is concerned, it's just simply not that common. So amrle dishmo lo shchiach. So the response is that no. In other words, that's really unlikely. And what's more like what is more likely? In other words, the whole scenario is unlikely. But at least in this scenario, what's more likely is v'chayshin shem bambati ibra. It's possible that she got impregnated by becoming inseminated. Without a man. In other words, there was zera in the water that she went into, and she got inseminated by that. So the Gemara says that Shmuel says that unless a woman is inseminated, where it comes in as a flow, so she's not going to become pregnant. So the Gemara's answer is no, that when it actually went out into the water, it went out bizera, meaning what basically the Gemara is saying is that we're not describing how the zera going into her, we're just simply describing the zera coming out of the man. When the zera comes out of the man, so it has to be yor kechetz, it has to come out strong. In other words, it's a function of the potency of the zera, and not so much how to impregnate her, but rather a function of the potency of the zera. These two questions being presented over here, the castration of a dog and the question of a pregnant woman who is claiming to be a basula and whether or not she can marry Kohen Gadol, obviously these two questions are somehow relevant and related to the Abish and Nichnus de Lepardes. It's obviously not just by happenstance that these two questions are being asked over here and specifically to Ben Zoma. However, what exactly is the connection? So I'll leave it for you to decide to for you to say a pshat. I don't have a pshat. Anyway, we continue. So far now so we saw four Tanaim who went into a deeper state of consciousness, of understanding, of Havana, and three of the four didn't fare well. The Gemara for the remainder of today's day is going to be doing analysis of some of the epilogue. So Tan Rabbanan, Maisa Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya Shaya Omeid Al Gav Maila Bahar Abayis. So story with Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. He was standing on the upper step of Har Abayis. Varu ben Zoma, v'lo Aman Milfanav. So he sees ben Zoma and he didn't stand up in front of him. So Amar Lo Ma'ayin Ulayin. So and he says, I don't understand. Why aren't you standing up for me? Me'ayin Ulayin ben Zoma Amar Lo. Tzofa Yisi ben Ma'im Al Yon La'Ma'im Atachtonim. So he says, look, one of the things I was able to understand and perceive is the difference between the upper waters and the lower waters. Ve'ein bein zel zeh ela shalosh etzbaos bavad. And how much are we talking about in terms of separation? Three etzbaos shenemar v'ruchlo kemer achefes al p'nei ha'mayim. The spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hovering over the water. Ki yona shemer achefes al p'neha. Much like a dove hovers over their children. Ve'eino nogas, and meanwhile, no contact. So Amar Lahem Rabbi Yeshua l'talmidav adayin ben Zoma mibachotz. And Rabbi Yeshua says to his students, look, ben Zoma still on the outs, meaning that he has not regained his sanity. Ben Zoma, as we described just moments earlier, was nitraf da'ato. So basically what the Gemara is saying is that you can still see that he has not gained all of his faculties. So the Gemara says, look, what he's saying is just simply, it's not correct. It's not good pshat. Because we know that the merachefes is occurring on day one. And at that point in time, there was no havdalah. There was no separation. So, emas have b'yom rishon, havdalah b'yom sheni havai. And meanwhile, we know that the separation of waters took place on day two. Huda havai. Dichsiv ahi mavdil b'mayim lamayim. And there was separation. Vikama. Now, how much separation are we talking about? So, Amar Avach, Rabbi Yaakov, Kamalonima. So, just the smallest amount of separation. V'Rabbanan Amre Kiguda Degamla. When you see the bridges set up and you see one plank after another plank, so even though the planks are put up one against the other, there is a small degree of separation between the planks on the bridge. And that's how much separation we're talking about on day two. The Gemara gives other analogies in terms of understanding the difference, the separation of the Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtonim. But anyway, the point of the Gemara is that Ben Zoma is not saying correct pshat. He's not saying correct pshat simply because he was describing what occurred on day one, and meanwhile there was no separation on day one. It was only from day two and onward that there was any degree of separation. Okay. Acher kitzetz benetias. A description of Acher. So he was kitzetz benetias, and again, as Rashi points out over here really clearly, it is not to be understood literally. It just simply means that he went off the derech. Right? He was knocking down the trees in the orchard. It is obviously metaphoric. It means that he was destroying. He was, and as we're going to see in today's daf, self-destructive, and unfortunately destructive of others as well. So Allah v'kasav omer al titenes picha lachtias besarecha. Don't allow your mouth to cause you to sin. Meaning, what seemingly the Gemara is saying is that you say something enough times, and you start believing your own press. And we're going to see story after story in today's daf, in which the Gemara is going to make this point really clear. So, Mahi. So, the Gemara says, what exactly did he see? So, Chazay mitatron di isyave le rishusa lemesav lemechtav zechusi di Yisrael. So he saw a malach. And not just any malach, but a specific malach. And the Gemara names, the Gemara identifies the malach. This malach was sitting. Now, in other words, we are right now, they're having a vision of, they're having a clear vision of what is going on upstairs. Okay, I'm saying that b'derech mashal. And so he saw this malach, and this malach was. And the critical point over here is that the malach was sitting. And the malach was also writing, and the malach was writing chutzim for Yisrael. Amar, now he didn't understand. He couldn't process this information. Gemirna, because he says that we have the following tradition. Delamala lo hava lo yeshiva lo tachus lo orv lo ipui. He says there's certain things that do not happen lamala. And one of the things that do not happen lamala is that in the yeshiva, nobody's sitting lamala. And so In addition to that, also there wasn't there isn't arifa. Rashi describes arifa is that there was no back, and again I don't fully understand this. I'm saying it, but I don't fully understand it. Meaning wherever you look, there was always you always faced front, and you never saw the back. Okay, again, not totally clear. Similar to midrashim. And I believe also there's a Gemara as well that described the Luchos, that wherever you saw the Luchos, you saw it face forward and you never saw the back of it. Okay, so there was no, there's no back. And below Ipoy Rashi describes as being a Yefus. Nobody got tired. Anyway, the point is that when Acher went up and he saw in Shemayim, in the Rakia, so what he saw was another entity that was sitting. And he says, and I have a tradition that doesn't happen. It's not supposed to happen. So Shem Echas V'Shalom, Beis V'Shur Yosein. So, and so what he therefore erroneously concluded is that there must be a second power. So Afkula Limitatron Umachyushi Simposi Denura. Now as far as the behavior of this particular Malach, so he was taken out and he was whipped 60 times. 60 times with a fiery whip. In other words, he gave a misimpression, and as a result of that, he himself was punished. So Amalei, my time ki chazis lo kamta mikame. So what you should have done is that when you saw that you were being visited by Acher and the other three, so immediately what you should have done is you should have stood up. Is yavele rishus lemimchek zechuse de Acher, and permission was given him to take away all the zechusim of Acher. Yasabaskal ve'amar shuv abanim shavim chutz mi Acher. And what he heard is that he heard a voice that said that everyone has an opportunity to do tshuva with one exception, one notable exception, and that is Acher. Okay, you're probably wondering at this point in time, doesn't he have a name? Meaning at this point in time in the Gemara, we have not identified his name. All we've done is just simply describing him as the other person. So stay tuned. I'm foreshadowing a Gemara coming up where the Gemara is going to explain a little bit later on where exactly he made the transition of having a name to just being described as Acher. Anyway, so what he heard, right, or at least what he thought he heard, is Shuva Banim Shavim. Everyone could do Shuva with one notable exception, and that would be Acher. Amar Hol V'Itrid HaUgavra Me'olama Lepuk Lesani Be'alma. So he says, okay, so I'm lost. So if at this point in time I'm lost, so at least let me enjoy. Let me live it up. Whatever limited time I have in this world is extraordinarily finite and really short. So, but at least at this point in time, I'm going to be enjoying whatever time is remaining. Nafagashka l'tabris ra. So what he did is he hung out with the wrong crowd. So nafagashka chzona. So he went to a house of ill repute and tava amrle. And I'm sorry, tava. And so he made a solicitation. So amrle. So she says to him, "Belav Elisha ben Avuyat." Okay. So for the first time now, along in this Gemara, so we're given his actual name. And so she says to him, "You know, okay, I got customers, but I didn't expect you as a customer. That's a little bit strange, right? You're Elisha ben Avuyah." So Akar Pugla Mimesha B'Shabbos V'Yayivla. So now he didn't deny his identity, but what he wanted to try to explain to her is that he's no longer the righteous individual that people thought of him. And so what he did is that he plucked out a root from the ground on Shabbos, a beet from the ground on Shabbos, and Amra, and she came to the conclusion Acherhu. Oh, he's somebody else. Okay, so now we're here. We're given the story behind the story in terms of where he got this name Acher. So he was labeled that by the Zona once he showed a total disregard for the basics, including Shmir Shabbos.
I think she really thought it was somebody else.
I'm ready to take questions. I'm probably not going to give a single answer. Yes.
If she named him, right?
Yeah.
How did we find out about it? Who publicized it?
Yeah. So right. So the. The Gemara is going to be giving us a lot of information, a lot of detailed information over here. Okay, I'm guessing, I don't know. The answer is I don't know, but I'm guessing, though, that Rabbi Meir, who kept a close relationship with him, so Rabbi Meir is probably sharing this information with us, but obviously for the lessons that it's going to teach us. Shal Acher es Rabbi Meir la Acher shiasa l'tabas ra. So Acher asked Rabbi Meir the following question after he went off the derech. So he said, look, Akash Baruch Hu made balance in this world, perfect balance in this world. Zulu Madza. So I have on this side of the scale and on that side of the scale. Amalo Kamasha Baruch Hashem Baruch Hu Baruch Enegdo. So you know, Hashem Baruch Hu created everything with balance. Baruch Harim Baruch Gvaros Baruch Yamin Baruch Naharos. So everything has a balance to it. Rashi and Chumash. If I can make a contribution to the Gemara over here, I'd love to. So Rashi and Chumash in the beginning in Breishis. So he points out that even the days themselves were balanced days of Gashmias and Ruchnias and Shamayim Va'aretz. And take a look at Rashi, where basically he takes the 6 days of creation and he makes balance with the 6 days of creation. Okay, good. So this is a Yesod. It's a very fundamental point regarding everything, both in terms of creation and how Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the world, and that is balance. Amar lo Rebbe Kiva Rabcha lo Amar Kach Ela Bar Tzadikim Bar Rishayim. So didn't Rebbe Kiva, your Rebbe, teach you the following? So, and that is that Kadosh Baruch Hu created Tzadikim and he created Rishayim and Bar Gan Eden Bar Gehenim, and there's Gan Eden, there's Gehenim. Kol Echav Echad Yesh Lo Beis Chalakim Echav Gan Eden Echav Gehenim. Now everybody's got a chelik in both, in Gan Eden and in Gehenim. Zachat Tzadik Nato Chalkov Echel Chavero Began Eden. Now, as far as what you're going to acquire, so it depends on your actions. So if you're a tzaddik, so you're going to be receiving your portion of Gan Eden, which was yours to begin with, and you're going to also be receiving the portions of others who did not gain any access to Gan Eden. And the same thing is true for somebody who's a Rasha, in terms of him not only getting his Gehenim, but getting others' Gehenims as well. Amar Rav Mishar Shemai Kram. Gabi tzadikim ksiv lachen ba'artzam mishana yershu. Lachen ba'artzam mishna yershu. So as far as tzadikim is concerned, so they're going to be yorish. They're eretz. And gabi rishayim ksiv mishna shivron shivram. And as far as the rishayim are concerned, so they're going to be receiving shevers, that which is broken. Shal achers Rabbi Meir la'achers yasal latar basra. Another dialogue that takes place between Acher and Reb Meir. Later this morning, the Gemara is going to be asking a simple question, and that is, why did Reb Meir maintain any kind of relationship with Acher? And not just a relationship, by the way, but they were all learning Torah as well. So this is going to be a big topic of discussion. The Gemara is going to discuss it in all of two lines of Gemara. But obviously, this makes for a really interesting and much lengthier discussion. But anyway, a second question that was posed from Acher to Reb Meir, and that is, my dechsiv lo ya'archenu zav zechuchis v'tamrisa Klipaz. So the value of gold, glass, there's no replacement value. Amalo elu divrei Torah shekashen liknosam kikli zahav. And he says, and Rameir's response to Acher is that is a description, the pasuk that you just cited is a description of Torah. It is difficult to acquire, much like gold and other precious metals. V'nochen l'avdan kikli zechuchis. And as far as it is, its comparison to glass is concerned, noch lavdan. It's really easy to lose. Meaning people, Rashi over here is explanation, people can forget the Torah pretty quickly. So Amar Rabbi Kiva Rabcha, lo amar kach, ela ma. That's not the way Rabbi Kiva said it. Ela ma kli zav, kli zechuchas, afa pish nishbu, yesh lam takana, afta amachach, ama afa pish sarach, yesh lo takana. So he says that, look, just like kli zav and kli zechuchas, when it breaks, so you can fix it. I understand our kli zechuchas is a little bit more challenging to fix, but you can melt it down. You can rebuild. And so, same thing is true over here. Meaning, you have a tamach chacham who goes off the derech, so he can be fixed. So amar lo. So to that, Acher says af atach hazor bach. I'm sorry. Acher said that as a pshat to Rebbe Meir. Amar lo. So Rebbe Meir just simply counters and says af atach hazor bach. Okay, good. So now, based on the pshat that you just gave me in the name of Rebbe Kiva, so you should do tshuva. So Amalo Kfar Shabati Bachori Pargo Shuvabadim Shovim Vim Chutz Me'Acher. And I said, yeah, but I overheard Chutz Me'Pargon, meaning as I was there in the Rakia and overhearing conversations that take place. So I heard from the other side of the curtain, and that is that Shuvabadim Shovim, everyone could do Tshuva Chutz Me'Acher, with notable exception to Acher. Obviously, Chutz Me'Acher is not part of the Pasuk. Chutz Me'Acher is an addendum that was added. Who added that addendum? Okay, so again, a lot of discussion over here. In terms of whether or not that was actually said, or it's just simply a rationalization on the part of Acher, where he heard it, meaning to say that he thought that there was no way for him to return, but that wasn't actually that which was stated. Okay, where are we right now? We're in Tezvav Amud Aleph, and we are well into the four that entered the Pardes, but we're paying specific attention to that of Elisha ben Avuya, known as Acher, who was one of the four, and he was Kotzitz ben Atias, and he made a mess of the mess of the orchard, which really means he made a mess of himself after having gone in. So far in the course of today's daf, we went through his actual name, Elisha ben Avuya, how he got branded Acher, some of his escapades after leaving the fold, and conversations and dialogue and Torah in which he learned together with his Talmud, Rabbi Meir, who still maintained a relationship with him even after he left the Derech. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara continues. Ma'isa be'echad shayirochev al sus b'shabbos. Ma'isa be'acher. Okay. Shayirochev al sus b'shabbos v'ayir Meir ma'alach acharav. So Acher is riding now on a horse on Shabbos, and Rabbi Meir was walking behind him. Now riding on a horse in of itself is already an issur de Rabbanan, as we've discussed numerous times in the Gemara and Beitza. So the so he is in current violation of Shabbos, and Rabbi Meir is walking alongside him. So it is just in terms of a contrast, and just in terms of an intriguing depiction over here. So what we're looking at over here is beyond interesting. I totally understand that, and they're engaged in the study of Torah, Lomo Torah, Mipiv. Amar lo Meir chazor lachrecha shekvar shiarti bikvesus ad kan tchom Shabbos. And the reverence and the regard that Acher had for Rabbi Meir, Acher realizing as they're walking now that they're about to hit the edge, the border, the tchum. So as we learned back in Erevin, so on Shabbos you can only walk a certain amount outside of your makom shvisa. Now if you're living in a city, so the makom shvisa is at the end of the city. So but from that point going forward, you can only walk 2,000 amos beyond that. And now Acher himself had no regard for Shabbos, so therefore for him, it didn't bother him that he left Chum, but obviously he was sensitive to the fact that for Remeir, so Remeir was the Shomer Shabbos, so he told Remeir, this is it, this is now going to be the limit for you, you can't go beyond this point. Amalei af atachazor bach. So now Remeir says, you also need to return. He said that both literally and of course figuratively. So Amalei v'lo kvar amarti lecha kvar shamati ma'achori apargishu v'abadim shuvim v'chutz me'acher. And now, at this point in time, we know already what Elisha is going to respond back to Rabbi Meir, and that is, I can't. In other words, it was already decreed, it was dictated up in Shemayim, that everyone has a chance of doing tshuva, with notable exception to Acher. Takvei ala lebei medrasha. And Rabbi Meir was insistent, he was persistent, he was tenacious. So what Rabbi Meir did is he grabbed Acher and he took him to the base medrash. Amalei liyinuki psuk li psukech. And now Acher turns to a child and he says, "Nu, let me hear a pasuk." And so, for those of you who have been here in the daf for a while, so you know that this is common. In other words, in order to get a window and insight into what's going up in Shemayim in the Yeshiva Shemala, so what you do is you ask a child to quote a pasuk. The pasuk that he quotes is going to be a small window into what is going on upstairs. Okay, it's some form of nevuah, lower, but a form of nevuah. So he turns to a child and he says, let me hear a pasuk. Amar lo, so he quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Okay, I'm impressed that the child knows the pasuk in Yeshayahu. But unfortunately, that shouldn't be the case. Okay. So, Ein Shalom Amar Hashem l'Rishayim. So there's no peace for Rishayim. So obviously, Acher took that as a direct message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that look, you're a Rasha. Aile lebe kenishta achrita. They went to another shul. Okay, here, right, the first one was the base medrash, here was the base kenesis. Anyway, Amalei liyinuke psuk li psukech, and he says, "No, let me hear a pasuk." So Amalo ki im techapsi benezer v'tarbi lach baris nechtam avanech lefanai. You could wash yourself out as much as I'm giving a loose translation of the pasuk, but you could basically clean yourself out as much as you want. You're still going to be stained. Again, he took that as a direct message. Aile lebekanishta achrita went to another shul. Amalei liyinuka. And as we turn now to the top of Tesvav Amid Beis, he said to a child, "Psok li psukech, nu, let me hear a pasuk." Amalei v'ad shedud matasi ki tibushi shani ki sadi adi zahav ki sikri befuch einecha l'shav tisyafi. You're basically dressing up for no good reason. In other words, it's not going to help you. So aila lebekanishta achrita ad aila letlesar bekanishta. So a total of 13 shuls and kulu paskulei ki agavna. And the Gemara says. And you know how all the psukim sounded. In other words, see above. Okay, so every pasuk that he heard was basically a rejection of Acher. So lebasra amrle psokli psukecha. Finally, when they got to the quote unquote lashol, so he asked the child to quote a pasuk amrle, quoted the pasuk in Tehillim, and the Rasha amar lekim malacha lesaper chukai. You have no business telling others of my Torah. Okay. So once again, he took it as a direct message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of total rejection. So Hahu Yenuka have a megange melishnei. Now, when the child quoted the pasuk, the child did not say the pasuk clearly. He did not articulate. And as he was saying over the first words of the pasuk, it reads Ule Rasha Amar Elokim. But the child was megamgem. He stammered a little bit. Ishtama kamada Amar Le Ule Elisha Amar Elokim. So instead of saying the word Ule Rasha, it sounded more like Ule Elisha, meaning it was direct messaging from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Elisha, is citing him by name. Now, Ika Da'amri, now at that point in time, so Acher was enraged. He was so enraged. So we have two versions of what happened. Version number one, Sakina Hava Ba'adev Ekar Vishajer Letleisar Be'kinishter. So he actually killed the child, cut the child into pieces, and sent the pieces of the child to 13 different shoals. It's gruesome, and it's tough to say over these Gemaras. It reminds me of Pelegish Begiva. Now, it's obviously the only common commonality is the cutting up of a human body and sending off the parts. Over there, messages were being sent to the other Shvatim. Over here, it's just brutal. So in the second version, Ika Damri Amar Yehava Biadisa Kinahava Karenale. In the second version, he didn't actually do it, but he made a threat that he would have done it had given the chance. Okay, we are now in a state in which we are by Acher. We've hit the big three, meaning Avodah Zarah. Okay, right. In other words, the Gilu Arayas. In other words, he was with the Zona and Shvichas Damim, as we just saw in the Gemara over here. Avodah Zarah, that goes back to the beginning when he assumed that there was a second Rishuyos, the second Rishus up in Shemayim. Okay. So right, I don't want to belabor it. But clearly he went off the derech. Kinach nafshei da'acher. So Amre. So he dies. So now we're at the point now where Acher has passed on and Amre. And they said. So over here probably we're describing over the Yeshiva Shamala and Lo meidan l'dayni v'lo la'amadase. V'lo la'amadase leisei. So we're kind of stuck right now. In other words, we can't judge him, but we can't bring him to Olam Haba. Clarification: the Gemara does so immediately. Lo meid la dani mishum dasik baraisa. So we can't judge him, meaning we can't send him to Gehenna. Consider the amount of Torah that he learned and taught. Avalola amadase leisim mishum dechata. At the same time, however, we also can't get him to Olam Haba. He's a chote. Okay. So Amar Rabbi Meir mutav de la dani v'leisim la amadase. So Reb Meir says, look, as far as my own viewpoint is concerned, so he should receive judgment so that he could receive a portion of Olam Haba. Masai Amos ve'ala Hashem mikivro. So and when I die, so you're going to see smoke coming out from his kever. In other words, Reb Meir says that after I pass on, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to escort him into Gehenna. I'll take him for din so that he can get Olam Haba. And the way that everyone here is going to know it is they're going to see smoke coming out of his kever. And that's exactly what happened. Rav Meir dies, and now smoke is coming out of the kever of Acher. Am Rav Yochanan gevurta lemikle rabbe. So it says in Rav Yochanan's comment. Now Rav Yochanan is sometime later. I mean, right? Sometime later. In other words, Rebbe, but not much, right? We are discussing the tkufa of Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva was at the end of Baisheni. And also post-Chorban as well. So Rav Yochanan was the first generation of Mara. Okay. Anyway, so Rav Yochanan now is reflecting. And Gevurta Lemikle Rabbe, right? Was that a good thing that you burned your Rebbe? Now, what he was objecting to is this idea that Reb Meir took Elisha down to Gehenna. Now, but again, we know that Elisha's intention obviously was the best of intention. In other words, you need the din in order to get a Chelek and Olam Haba. So chad have binana velomatzina la atzule. So inak de biyan man mirmale. When he was here, nobody could save him. So and if I took him by the hand, so who's going to be able to save me? So man amar masayam musve echbe ashan mikever. And so when I die, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop the smoke coming out of his kever. Meaning what I'm going to try to do, says Rav Yochanan, is I'm going to make an attempt to take him out of Gehenna. Okay, in other words, what seems to be the case is that when Rav Meir took him to Gehenna, so although Rav Meir's intention was is that eventually he's going to get out of Gehenna, but again, for whatever time span there was between Rav Meir and Rav Yochanan, it didn't happen as of yet. So Rav Yochanan says that what I'm going to make the attempt to do is to get him out of Gehenna. So pasuk kushrei mikivrei the acher. So and that's in fact what happened when Rav Yochanan died. The smoke stopped coming out of the kever of acher, and so apparently, presumably, Rav Yochanan was in fact successful in taking him out of Gehenna. Pasach alehu safdan va'afilu shomer pesach lo amad lefanecha lefanecha rabbeinu. So and when Rav Yochanan died, so what did the safdan say? What did the eulogizer say? Is that the gate did not stand in his way. Meaning Rav Yochanan had such a koach that he was just basically able to go in and out of Gehenna in order to get Acher out of Gehenna. Bito shel Acher asi l'kame de Rebbe. More epilogue to the story of Acher. And now we're by the daughter of Acher. And she goes to Rebbe, Amr le Rebbe Parnaseni. So she needs to be supported. Amr le bat miat. And so Rebbe says to her, who are you? Who are you the daughter of? Amr le bito shel Acher ani. She says, I'm the daughter of Acher. Amar la adain yesh mizara ba'olam. Now, Rebbe couldn't believe that he has any children, any descendants. So, v'aksiv lo nim v'lo neched ba'amo. V'ein srid b'megurav. So, the Pasuk in Yov describes that really, for Rishayim, there should be no lineage. So, amar lo zechor l'sarasov ve'al tizkor ma'asav. So she says to Rebbe, if you could just focus a little bit more on his Torah, and not so much on his actions. Miyad yarda esh v'sichzicha safshtolo sharebi. And fire came down from heaven, burnt the bench that Rebbe was sitting on. And at that point in time, Rebbe understood that more direct messaging from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she's right, the daughter's right. So, bacha v'amar, Rebbe, uma limizganein ba, kach limishtabchen ba, al achas kama v'kama. For those who are mizgana, those who despair and disparage, that's what's going to happen. For those who praise, how much more so? For Rabbi Meir, okay, period. Okay, so Ad Kan taking us now, not to the so much to the end of the story, but at least in terms of the life of Acher, the death of Acher, the events that occurred after his death, the attempt made not by one, but by two Gedolim, to try to get him out of Gehenna. Okay. Yeah.
Can you just focus on someone's Torah?
Right.
Even if they were horrible.
More on that coming up. V'remeir hecha gamar Torah mipumei da'acher. So the Gemara now is going to challenge and question, how can Remeir do that? As we saw in today's daf, Remeir spent a good amount of time learning from Elisha ben Avuya, both before and after his experience in Pardes. And so the Gemara wants to know, if somebody is not conforming and if someone is not behaving a certain way, so how can you learn Torah from him? And the Gemara substantiates this question. The Hamarav of Abrachana, Hamar Rabbi Yochanan, my dechsev kisiv sekoin yishmudas v'sora yivakshu mipiu. The pasuk in Malachi and the Gemara darshans, and this should sound familiar because just one masecht ago, back in Moed Kaddin, so we quoted this Gemara. So this pasuk and this drasha. So ki Malach Hashem tzvakosu. And im doma rav la malach Hashem tzvakos yivakshu Torah mipiu. V'im lav al yivakshu Torah mipiu. And so, if your Rebbe is malach Hashem tzvakos, so then that's somebody you should be learning from. And if not, al yivakshu Torah mipiu, you should not be learning Torah from him. And so the Gemara over here is asking, how can Rav Meir be learning Torah from Acher after Pardes? Am Reish Lakish, Rav Meir kara ashkach v'darach. So Reish Lakish has an answer, which is really interesting, by the way, because the Gemara in challenging is quoting Rav Yochanan. The Gemara in defending is quoting Reish Lakish. Okay, and again, by the way, I'm sure layers and layers and layers of meaning and purpose over here in terms of who's asking, who's defending. Anyway, so Reish Lakish defends, and Reish Lakish says he has a couple psukim. Number one, the pasuk of Mishlei hat az nechau shema divrei chachamim v'lib chatashila dati. And what you should do is you should be paying attention lidati, to my intent. Ladatam lo namar el ladati. Meaning, despite the fact that the person's saying over the Torah, so even though he may be acting a certain way, but in other words, but the Torah itself is effective, and it's good. And Rav Chanina Amar Mehacha, Rav Chanina has another pasuk. Shimi bas uri'i v'ati aznecha v'shichchi amech u'beis avicha. Okay, and pay careful attention, and listen to the Torah. And despite the fact that the person saying over the Torah may not be a role model, nevertheless the Torah. So what we have over here is a defense of Rav Meir learning Torah from Acher, from not one but two different psukim. So, but meanwhile, Rav Yochanan also quoted a pasuk, and the pasuk from Rav Yochanan was extraordinarily clear. Ki malach Hashem tzvakos. So effectively, what we have is a stir between the psukim. The Gemara notes that right now. Cry, kasha, cry, adade. So the psukim really are difficult one against the other. Lokasha, habagadol, habakatan. So the Gemara says it depends. It depends in terms of the student. If the student is a gadol, then Rashi. I'm reading Rashi inside. Hayodea li zahir. Shalo yomon ma'asav yachulamotor mipiv. So if you're somebody who yourself are a seasoned Talmud Chacham, you're older, you're more experienced, you're stabilized. So under those circumstances, so then you can learn Torah. And even though the Magid, the one teaching the Torah himself, is not necessarily a role model, nevertheless, you can put yourself in that position. If, on the other hand, you are impressionable, Katan over here literally means young, but it means that you are impressionable. So at that point in time, you should not be learning Torah from such an individual. Rav Dimi came in from Eretz Yisrael, and this is a description in Eretz Yisrael regarding Rav Meir. It has a great alliteration. But the basic idea is that he ate the fruit and he spit out the pits. He spit the pits out. So the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, I went down to the Gina of Egozim, the Garden of Nuts. So lama nimshul tamach chacham laegoz. So why is tamach chacham compared to a nut? Lama lchama laegoz zeaf apisha meluchlach betid v'tzoa ein masha besocho nimas. So despite the fact that externally it's dirty, so but nevertheless that which is inside, the Torah inside, ain no nimas. It does not become disgusting. Same thing with the Talmud Chacham. The Torah that's inside is still pristine. Even though the Talmud Chacham himself went off the derech. What is the Kadosh Baruch Hu doing? So Kadosh Baruch Hu goes over the Torah of everybody, but he's not going over the Torah of Reb Meir. Amalei Amai. And he says, and the reason why is because he was learning Torah from Acher. So they said, well, I don't understand. Rav Meir, when he was learning Torah from Acher, so he, and the Gemara over here's analogy is a slightly different analogy than what we said earlier, but still, same basic idea. He ate the insides. But the klipa, the shell, the external, so that he threw away. Amalei hashakamar meir bini omer. And so Kadosh Baruch Hu changed his tune. Now, again, the levels of layer and the levels of meaning in these Gemaras, obviously, I'm just right now just dealing with it on the most superficial level, which is, you know, the level that I understand. That is that it's a little bit difficult to understand. Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't know that. Somebody had to go over and explain. Oh, don't worry. He threw away the shell. He was only interested in the Torah, in the internal Torah. Okay. I think that's clear. What do you mean? What in terms of Rameer's intention? I think that's obvious. Right. Clearly. Okay. But right now we're focusing on the Torah that is gained through the relationship. To which the Gemara says, okay, and Akash Baruch Hu heard it. And not only did he heard it, so hashtag kamar, now He was going over the Torah, not just the Torah, but the Torah of Rabbi Meir. Hashakamer Meir bini Omer bisman shadam mitzar shchina ma lashon omeres. When a person is mitzayer, so what does the shchina say? Kalani miroshi, kalani mizrawi. Rashi over here gives a little bit more of a description over here, but basically an expression of a Kadosh Baruch Hu shares the burden. Im kach a Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzayer al daman shal rishayim kavachamer daman shal tzadikim shenishbach. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu says that over rishayim. Imagine what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying over tzadikim. Shmuel sees Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda's low. He's in a low spot in life. He's depressed. The expression they tali be'ivra d'dasha, literally hanging by the door, the bolt of the door. So it's a common expression in the Gemara. It's always used to describe somebody who's in a low state, right? He's depressed. So I'm relation and I'm my kabachis. So Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, Shmuel, always describe Rav Yehuda shinana. Literally, the sharp one, that was the nickname that Shmuel gave to Rev Yehuda. It's a nickname of respect and admiration. So, my kavachis, so why are you crying? Amalei mizutrasni my dechsibuhu rabbanan, aye sofer, aye shokol, aye sofer, es amigdalim, aye sofer, shayu sofrim. Sorry. So he says, look, I'm going over the pasuk in Yeshayahu, and quite frankly, it's getting me down. Aye sofer, shayu sofrim, kolos yoshibatara. So, where are the sofrim? Right, those who counted all the words of the Torah, and Aye Shokel Shayu Shokel Kalam V'Chamur Shebetorah, Tamid Chachamim who navigate through Halacha using Kal V'Chomer, and Aye Sofer Zamegdalim Shayu Shonim Gimel Meos Halachos BeMigdal Parech BaAvir, and where are the Sofrim who are discussing Migdalim towers, and they're discussing Halachos about Migdal HaParech BaAvir, a tower that is suspended in the air. Rashi goes over a couple of suggestions in terms of what this means. Migdal Parech Ba'avir, Rashi writes, Yesh Mefarshim, Shedarshin Govo Shol Lamed V'darshin Bo Kolzos. So the Lamed and the roof of the Lamed. V'yesh Omrim Migdal Dor HaFlaga. Some suggest that it's a reference to the Dor HaFlaga. V'linir Migdal HaPasuch La'avir Garsinan. V'ein Mehilchos Oalos Migdal Shol Eish Shekorin master of Ome Bepesach Upischa Pasuch Lebika, or maybe it's a discourse and it's an analysis of the halachas of Oalos and Tumas Ohel. Either way, the Amar Rabbi Amitlas Mea by Baudog Vachitofa Bemigdal Parech Bavir, Doeg Achitofa, we're able to make 300 different inquiries regarding this topic. Vitanan Gimel Malachim Varba Jotas in Lem Chelik Lalam Abba. And meanwhile, despite the fact that we're looking at these tremendous Talmid Chachamim, but meanwhile, the opening Mishnah of the 11th Perek of Sanhedrin says that there are three kings and there are four Hejotos that are not going to be receiving a portion of the world to come. Included in that list are going to be Doeg and Achitofel. And so meanwhile, so what's really bothering Rav Yehuda, what's really disturbing Rav Yehuda, is that you have somebody said that's so engaged in the study of Torah, and meanwhile could be behaving in a manner in which they're not going to be receiving any Olam Haba. So Anan Mate Havi Alan. So what hope is there for us? Meaning somebody who was so ensconced in Torah, in Limud HaTorah, and meanwhile they went off the derech, like what hope is there for the rest of us? So Amar Lei, so Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, Shinana, Tina Haisa Beliban. So he says, look, as far as they were concerned, so Achitofel, Doeg, and Acher, in other words, they're all being grouped together here in the Gemara. So Tina Haisa Belibam. So they were it's not that they were good and they went off the derech. There was always something amiss about them. Rashi's description over there, Tina Haisa Belibam, Risham Hayumi Yamehem. Right? Even at the time when they were quote unquote on the derech, they weren't totally on the derech. Acher Maizamar, Yevan lo pasuk mipume. So, and the Gemara says, as far as Acher is concerned, so he was singing all the time, and not just singing, but Greek songs. And Rashi writes over here. I'm reading the Rashi. Hayalo laniach bishvol churban abayis echsev bishir lo yishtul yayin. So, a really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi says that it wasn't so much the Greek songs that took him astray. You could have easily said that as a pshat, but Rashi says no. Rashi says the fact of the matter is that they were post Chorban and nobody should be singing. Meaning the act of singing at this point in time after Chorban, so that is one of the things that took Acher aside. The Amru Alav al Acher b'shashaya omed bebeis hamedrash harbei sifrei minim no shu mecheiko. And the Gemara also notes that when he was in the base medrash, so he had sifrei minim, he had heretical works, and it was, you know, I'll give a little bit of imagery over here, and it was under his coat, and it was, you know, under the sefer and under the Gemaras, but he had heretical works, and while studying Torah, he was also studying heretical works as well. In other words, what Shmuel basically says to Rav Yehuda is that this didn't happen overnight. In other words, this is something that was brewing and stirring inside of him for some time already. And don't think for a moment that you're learning Torah, and then one day snap, and then you go off the derech. That's not how it occurs. But rather, what happens is that over the course of time, he was corrosive. He was rusting inside. And the Gemara gives a couple of examples of the corrosion of Acher, not at this point in time, but also going back earlier. Meaning, there's much more behind the story. Okay, Adka, I'm going to stop over here. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow, obviously, we'll pick it up. Let's quickly recap. We started today with Arba Shenichnus LaPardes for four people going into Pardes. Rashi gives a description over here using Shem Hashem in order to have some sort of better understanding. This is obviously connected, brought in our Gemara over here, because obviously connected with the experiences of Maisa Merkava and the teachings of Maisa Merkava. And so the four are Rabbi Kiva, Ben Zoma, Ben Azai, and Acher, and the fate of all four. So obviously today's daf, we spent most of our time discussing the fate of Acher. As far as Rabbi Akiva was concerned, Nichnas L'Shalom V'Yasa B'Shalom. As far as Ben Azai is concerned, Ben Azai died. And as far as Ben Zoma is concerned, Nitrufa Daito. So he became mentally unstable. The Gemara spent a little bit of time this morning in the beginning of Tetzvav Amid Aleph going over Ben Zoma and his loss of his grip on reality and just basic understanding of Torah. He said things that were just simply impossible. Separation of waters. He said a pshat that just simply couldn't be. Okay. And then from Tesvav Ahmed Aleph to the end of today's daf, a description, a detailed description, a difficult description of Acher in terms of what happened to him after Pardes, in which he totally went off the derech, involved in Znus, professing a little bit of Avodah Zarah, in that there wasn't one Rishus, there were multiple Rishuyos, or at least that's what he perceived, and also either thought or actually involved in Shvichas Damim as well. So and Chil Shabbos as well, involved in Chil Shabbos as well, that was also referred to on the Amud Aleph. Attempts were made by Rabbi Meir, his student, to bring him back. The Gemara detailed that also, taking us all the way to Tesvav Amid Beis. But after multiple attempts of trying to get him to be a Chose B'tshuva, but still, Acher would not go. The Gemara in Tesvav Amid Beis described the death of Acher. An attempt made by not one, by two, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yochanan, to bring him down to Din and to pull him up from Din. And only through the combined efforts of the two, of both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yochanan, were they able to have some sort of success, to whatever degree they were able to have. The Gemara then spends a good amount of time on the Amud Beis talking about the Torah of Acher. The Gemara challenges questions, how can Rabbi Meir be learning from Acher? So we have a steer amongst Psukim in terms of whether or not it is acceptable to be learning Torah from somebody who is not comporting himself as a Ben Torah. So the Gemara noted the steer amongst the Psukim, and the Gemara's distinction is the Gadol versus the Katan. Somebody who himself is stabilized and is mature and is able to do what Rabbi Meir did, so he can learn from an Acher type. On the other hand, if you're a Katan, so then you cannot. Okay, again, huge topics obviously in today's daf. But and then finally, the Torah of Acher. So is it something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu liked or did not like? And the Gemara had a little bit of ambiguity on this particular topic. Although it sounds like from the Gemara's conclusion, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the argument that the Torah of Acher is something that can be said over. The Rebbe, and we finally concluded our daf today with a description of Rav Yehuda, who was just depressed, having seen how major Talmidei Chachamim were able to just simply fall off the wagon seemingly overnight, even though they amassed a tremendous amount of of Torah knowledge, being able to have detailed discussions in really difficult sugyas. And meanwhile, they went off the derech. So how could that possibly be? And Rav Yehuda was so depressed. But Shmuel went on to explain, no, you have to know the history. As far as Acher is concerned, so he was rusting already from a much earlier period of time. The Gemara described two things. He was singing Greek songs for some time. He was bringing heretical works into the Beis Medrash and learning them. This did not happen overnight. Adkan.